Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hello, the internet. What?
Yeah.
Leave it. I was saying hello to the internet, my good friend, the internet, and I was interrupted by my other new friend, our guest today, our most returningest first-time guest. We feel like we already know him. Welcome to season 300, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take deep dive into American share consciousness. And it's Thursday, August 17th, 2023.
Woo. Oh, yeah. Black Cat Appreciation Day. Shout out my cat, Bergie. Hey. And shout out all the black cats out there. National Thrift Shop Day. Oh, yeah.
Bergie. We got a black cat living in our backyard.
Cat in the back hat? Wow. Mm-hmm. In the back hat? Wow. It's also National Hazy IPA Day. National Nonprofit Day. Congressional Startup Day. National I Love My Feet Day. Interesting. National Massachusetts Day. Shout out. What is it? The Bay State? What is Massachusetts called?
The Bay State? Is that right?
Is it a Commonwealth?
Yeah, Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Yeah. What is the Bay State? Never mind. Oh, yeah. It is. Massachusetts nicknamed the Bay State. All right. Come on now.
I lived there and everything. I don't remember that shit.
Man, I played so much competitive hockey in New England. I should have that shit in my brain.
You and your hockey team would always say, fellas, we're headed to the Bay State.
That's what they say. Count your beans. We're in Bean Town.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You turn me fudge round, baby, fudge round, like a fudgy wudgy, fudge round, round, round. You turn me fudge round, baby, fudge round. That is courtesy of Maxer1216 on the Discord. Just imagining an alternate universe where all songs mention fudge rounds, like that new viral country song by Oliver something. It's Oliver's either his first name or his last name. I can't remember. The big
MAGA talent show winner.
That's
who he is.
The MAGA talent show winner. Who the second verse, if you've only heard the first verse, that's like a throwback to Pete Seeger. Stick around for the second, which is a throwback to last night's Gutfeld. It seems like it was written by Greg Gutfeld.
Truly.
Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Lod dropped, charge popped, got hit with the Rico, my crew cut. Judge of the state where I got, rigging the folk and I can't stop. Stop! Bad and bougie. Okay, shout out to JMUSIC1 on Discord for that wonderful Trump version of Bad and Bougie. Woo. And you even uploaded a voice note on the Discord post. You were really trying to really get that Trump down. Appreciate that. Thank you for that instruction. Yes.
Yeah, that was beautiful. That was well done. We appreciate the voice message. Yeah. Show us how it's done. Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest comedians and podcasters doing it.
Yes. Oh, God.
We felt like we were like, wait, is this really the first time you've been on? Is this really the first time we've ever talked to each other?
Yeah.
Because I definitely have like a parasocial relationship. I've been a fan from a distance of his appearances on various podcasts like Comedy Bang Bang, Doughboys. He co-hosts the podcast Get Played. He's one of a handful of people who I can remember hearing on, I forget which podcast it was, but like I remember doing this with Gabris and Carl Tart and our guest today, where I was like, wait, who's this? And like Googling who's this guy? Who's this guy? While smoking a cigarette and talking to Joe Pesci.
Who is this guy?
Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Anyways, it is the brilliant, the talented Matt Apodaca.
Wow, but this is all too much. This is too much praise for your boy. I'm excited to be here. We were saying that it's wild that this is my first time on. I feel like we have a lot of mutual friends.
And near every guest that's on the show regularly.
Yeah, I sort of know a lot of the guys. But I was like, I don't know those guys. They seem great. I'm happy to be here. I am really, really sorry that I interrupted at the beginning. We were talking about how professional and like I keep it. And then I immediately got too comfortable.
It was beautiful.
Well, it's just that I'm talking to my good friends, the internet.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't like to be interrupted when that happens.
He doesn't like it. I pissed him off. I fucked up. Oh, man.
We were also talking about that Gatorade commercial.
Oh, yeah.
The counterfactual Michael Jordan Gatorade commercial where he's like, what if I wasn't like the sickest motherfucker who ever picked up a basketball? Like, that would be so weird, right?
Yeah.
What if I wasn't fucking awesome?
I was watching these commercials yesterday on Get Played. We were talking about the Donald Trump Pizza Hut commercials. Because he was kind of their spokesperson for a while.
Was it the Big New Yorker?
It was for the Big New Yorker.
Yeah.
And he eats the pizza crust first because it had the stuffed crust too.
Oh, yeah.
And we were positing that they like had to come up with stuffed crust pizza because that's how he eats pizza anyway. And they had to justify why he would do that.
I like, from the back always.
He like ate it wrong one time.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, no, that's actually how I meant to do it.
This is
and
how
everybody
I do
should
it.
Do it that way.
Yeah. I'm normal. You're insane.
Because his style is to just scrape the toppings off. He just eats the toppings.
He likes it in a bowl. He'd rather it in a bowl.
Yeah, the old pizza bowl.
Yeah, just scrape the good parts off.
Which I feel like that was a product that was launched at some point by
just
a pizza chain. Just the pizza bowl. Like
I think Papa John's did
Papa
it, I
John.
Think. Yeah.
Which again feels
one of
like
their
something.
Nasty creations, yeah.
Very nasty. The people at Papa John's are very
Wait,
nasty.
There was a pizza? Wait, what was in it?
It was just toppings, I think.
It's
it was
like
just
cheese,
like,
sauce, pepperoni.
My life.
Yeah. You probably but want it to be a little more vegetable forward to be eating something like that, but it's probably not that many in there.
Oh,
but it
my
does
God,
again
right,
feel
yeah.
like this is Trump. Like, getting involved somehow.
Here's what you do, Papa. He calls him Papa.
The invisible hand behind the pizza chain world.
It truly is like the Italian meats trio Papa Bowl. It's just pepperoni, sausage, meatballs, topped with three cheeses and Italian seasoning, baked to perfection in our signature sugar sauce.
That does seem uniquely American, though, does it not? That type of food. The fact that that counts as food.
Well, it's because it's so childish. Like, that's what America, like, we're shamelessly indulge our childish impulses where it's like, I don't want to eat the pizza. I just want the goo on the top part.
Exactly.
And we're like, okay, fine. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is like, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Like, the fact that you can get, like, truffle mac and cheese and, like, act like it's not a dish for children.
Yeah. <It's> Yeah, or like you get a Starbucks and you get a Trenta sized Frappuccino,
a little milkshake, a little midday
wine bottle. That's the capacity of a wine bottle, sir. But okay,
we'll just sit back. We'll have a couple bottles of wine.
Yeah,
three, four bottles of Frappuccino. You know,
Frappuccino. We have four or five bottles of Frappuccino. All right, Matt, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Yeah.
First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We got some good news out of a Montana court, so we're going to talk about that as regards
climate change.
And as regards.
The future indeed. Of the planet, as yes. regards. Ron DeSantis is just like, whatever. Okay, clearly I won. Let's just move on here. So we're going to talk about that.
So
I'm trying to shoehorn a video game story in.
Ooh.
Since, Matt, you are a video game dude.
I'm a gamer guy.
As they're called.
A game yeah. dude. Shout out Game Dude, the best video game store in LA.
Yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's in North Hollywood. It's like a big warehouse, and they have fucking everything. Like,
Game
you can go
Dude
get you can get
so
that
good.
Genesis shit right there. The cartridges are crisp.
That has to have come on online, like, late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Game like, Dude
I,
is such a
I have been
name.
Going there since the early 90s, like, since 92.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a Game Dude.
Oh, yeah.
All that, plenty more. But first, Matt, what is something from your search history?
Okay, well, yesterday I was Googling The Walking Dead, and I kind of went down like a rabbit hole because I fell off of the show, and I used to love the comics, and I was like, oh, do I like get back into this? But now I see that there are like four spinoff shows that I just didn't watch, and the show ended in its 11th season. I was like, there's just no way I'm gonna be able to do. There's now like a Star Trek amount right. The Walking Dead. That I'm just never gonna, I probably never will get catch back up. But I was just kind of seeing what each one of them was. So a lot of the searches is just like the various like Wikipedia entries for each show.
Right.
And then yeah. like, why does that person have a strange name? And I was like, oh, I've seen them in this and this and this or whatever. And so it's, I kind of just went down a Walking Dead rabbit hole was the most recent.
How many
recent
Googling.
Walking,
like how many, there's like Fear the Walking Dead,
There's
right?
Fear the Walking Dead. There's Dead City, which is a sequel to The Walking Dead. Okay. There's the Daryl Dixon show that's also a sequel.
There's a prequel, isn't there?
There's what's it called? Oh shoot, let me pull it up. Let
Dude,
me pull
Tales
them up.
Of the Walking Dead, The Walking Dead World Beyond.
Yes, yeah, that one is like a story set in the future or something. And then there's a new one coming out that brings back Rick Grimes and Michonne, and that one I believe is called The People Who Live or something like that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's or The Ones Who Live is coming in 2024. Because they were gonna, wow. Andrew Lincoln left the show, and they were gonna do these movies with him as Rick Grimes, and he was gonna be like a blockbuster, like action hero, basically.
Uh-huh.
And they just never did that. They just like never did. So they took him out of the show. He's like the best guy there, and he's like the lead of the comic book series too. And yeah. they took him out of the show. They're like, we gotta put him in movies.
Yeah.
And then they just never did it. And now they're bringing him back for a spinoff series after the show has ended.
Weird.
What?
It's like the character left TV to pursue a film career.
Exactly. Yeah,
like actually, usually it's like the actor, yeah. like Clooney leaves ER to pursue a film career. You
yeah.
rarely see like the character and it like it fails to launch.
Yeah.
You
know, like, oh. But there's just too many now. And I am interested in catching up, but I just don't know if I'll, do all that.
Yeah. When did you like what is there a season that they consider like the peak? Because I stopped watching after Frank Darabont was like off it. I was like,
I stuck
I was
with it for a while. I actually probably did. I was thinking about this yesterday and I was like, when did I stop watching it? Like, because there was a consensus or at least I thought I was like, the show has kind of fallen off, but I'm still watching it. Like, I kind of stick with shows even if I don't love it.
Same.
Like, I watched all of Dexter. Like, I've seen every Dexter.
Wow. Yeah.
Are you going to watch? Because that's a expanded television universe that's coming, right?
I can't watch. Oh, did you watch the new shit, too?
I watched the new one, too. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Did they make amends for just the... I mean, once it ended, I was like, all right, yeah, fuck you, too.
Yeah.
Thanks for nothing.
I thought the new thing, I can't remember what it was called. I thought it was pretty good compared to the final season of how it ended,
right.
But I don't think they can ever capture the heights of the John Lithgow season. Like,
oh,
that
yeah,
was just
yeah,
like
yeah.
such, that was like lightning in a bottle. The show was not that good before
no.
that and never as good after that. Like, it
Especially
was kind of just like a lucky strike, kind of.
When Edward James almost was a fucking figment of motherfuckers,
yeah.
I was like, you really went that deep in the season to be like, sorry, y'all, this was just some fake shit. This is a figment of motherfuckers. I was like, this is terrible, right? Anyway,
it's
so
bad,
when did Walking Dead peak? Just so I know when to go up to.
I feel like when Negan comes, when Jeffrey Dean Morgan comes into the series, that's like, it's huge in the comics too. Like, he's such a presence and he's such a like dominant figure in the series, and he's such like a like just a top villain, I think.
Yeah.
That like, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan's performance in it is so, so great that it I think it elevated it to quite a bit, because also like you're used to the core group at that point, and right. You're like, oh shit, now he's in here and he's gonna, you know, if you're familiar with the comics, start getting some RBIs. But he's
the baseball bat guy.
Yeah, he's a big baseball bat guy, let's say. Uh-huh. And let's say he hits dingers, this guy.
Uh-huh.
But they sort of, I don't know. He does it, and then he's around for a little bit, but then they like, I heard they like make him good. And like, I don't remember if the comics ever made him good, but then, you know, I stuck through it with until Andrew Lincoln left. I was like, you know what? I think we're good here. This is fine. I think I'm done. Thanks, though. And that was probably like season 6, season 7 or something. And it went like 5 more seasons. Like,
oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Well, good to know. It's round 6.
Yeah.
When I get off.
Are they all like kind of the same quality? Like that? Because it seems like that's the impression I get. Like The Walking Dead and then like Dead City and...
Yeah.
The spinoff shows also seem to be like all named by somebody who was like... trying to come up with it. Like, he had 15 minutes to come up with the names of every series
Red Machete
for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I'm just gonna rapid fire some off. Just like,
of course, the ones who live.
Yeah. Which doesn't sound like, that sounds like a daytime soap. Like, it doesn't sound like it's part of the Walking Dead universe.
Right. Or just like a plot description.
This is about the ones who live.
You could call it like The Final Girls or like, you know, it's just like they're the ones who like
the ones lived who live.
From the other part where the people
just
died.
a bunch of Harry Potters walking around.
Right.
But I think there, I don't know anybody that watched the spinoffs and were like, these are as good. Like these are of similar quality.
Because
like the Frank Darabont season was kind of like its own thing because it was like pretty serious. And not that the other shows became like less serious or whatever, but they became pulpier, I think. Sure. Like his was more of a grounded take, and his like after that, it became just like a horror, like, you know, sort of just like blockbustery type of like show.
Yeah.
I was all about the art when it comes to zombie apocalypse.
Like it was cinema as compared to, you know, the MCU of the of the Walking Dead universe.
Dead City.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dead City.
Whoa.
Everybody in this city is dead.
What's something you think is overrated, Matt?
Okay, so you... You immediately had beef with this as soon as I told you entered it
ahead
into
of
the
time.
Chat.
Oh, you haven't revised?
Yeah.
No.
I haven't revised
this is,
it.
This is not it.
Jack
not
pulled out a switchblade and licked the fucking blade. We were like, uh-oh.
Yeah, so, and I opened like one and it was a comb. And I was like, oh, I'm just like, so not prepared.
Boy. Yeah.
You're like, it hurts.
Yeah, ow. But I think of the big candies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Reese's peanut butter cups are overrated. And I'm going to go ahead and give you this grace. I'm not talking about the little guys. I'm talking about the regular sized ones.
And
the ratio is off.
Interesting.
It doesn't
too
work
much
for
peanut
me.
Butter?
I think so.
Too much peanut butter.
But like the little ones, you know the ones that I'm talking about. Like you get the minis, but like the little guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. I'll have one of those a year and be like, that was great.
Wow, and then
I cannot eat any more than that.
Have you had the big, the king size, like the big cups?
Oh, yeah.
You think I'm going to go big when I think the regular size is the bad one?
Well, but I will tell you that their chocolate ratio is a little bit more similar to the little guy chocolate ratio. Just like blown up to a Trenta scale.
You mean like the one that's so like 14 pounds?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like the one that's like 14 slices that look like
they got Wayne Szalinski in the lab.
And
yeah.
It's the size of a, you know, average laptop.
Okay.
It's like the mass.
Or no, it was 14 inches. I think the diameter was 14 inches for that one. And it like sold out instantly again because America is filled with people who are like, yeah, I want big Reese's cup.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the ones that are called the big cup, I think, or something.
The big cup. They're probably hockey puck size kind of.
But yeah. The ones that have like the chips in them and shit, those are fucking good. Those are good.
Potato chips, the pretzels.
I didn't know. Because I don't keep up with the product line. Like I gotta get in there and I'll try the big one.
These are the Walking Dead spinoffs of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. You know what I mean?
Because I'll check in on what's going on. You know, I'll try a new M&M. M&M's got a new flavor every couple of years or something. They'll do the pretzel.
The brownie one was kind of. Yeah. Did you try the brownie one?
I tried the brownie one, and I tried. They had like a pepper one, not peppermint, but like a spicy one. And I was like, try this.
What?
It was bad, but I tried it. They shouldn't have done it.
That's what I do every time I go to like the pharmacy, like if I go to like CVS or some shit, because that's usually where like you can, like once I walk, they perfectly place all that bullshit in there.
When I'm like, fuck, candy.
Yeah, and I'm like, fuck it. I'll buy three bags of whatever the fuck M&M this, whatever gross abomination. Skittles. Yeah. I'm about like birthday cake, fucking Hershey Kisses and shit.
Yeah.
It's wild.
You know what? Birthday cake, they don't have to do that.
I think that's becoming overrated, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a little too much. And if I had to revise it, and I don't think I'm allowed to, I do think I would probably say birthday cake instead of Reese's. But since I can't revise it and I'm not being allowed to do that, it is going to be still Reese's.
Yeah, this will be on your tomb. Yeah.
Yeah, we did get an official ruling and allowed to revise it.
It's already etched into my gravestone, unfortunately. Yeah. So yeah, there's not a whole lot I can do about it.
Matt Apodaca, and then underneath, didn't know shit about candy.
Yeah, big candy dumbass.
Sorry, man, we kind of had to go hard on that.
It sucks that I'm being roasted, but you know what?
Posthumously, yeah.
It is what it is. I can't defend myself. I'm dead. Go on.
I just have to say this out loud because it's like in my head now.
You're really mad at me?
And I'm so mad at you, and I want you off the show right now. The show's over.
You're so mad.
Have people talked about how your name is perfect to be pronounced by E40 before?
No, I've not heard that. I've heard
you haven't?
It's hard to pronounce.
West Coast, yeah.
You guys nailed it right away, which was fantastic. How would E40 say it?
Apodaca.
That's pretty good. If I ever meet,
it's like Pascal Siakam.
I thought you were doing Christopher Walken, like Apodaca.
Yeah,
that's good too. I would like anyone of you who has a specific way of speaking. If you would like to take a crack at my last name, I know Walken's listening.
Yeah,
go off. I'd love to hear it, but it has to be because you talk a specific way, not because you're gonna have fun saying it. In the wrong way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to be like, yeah, William Shatner's got to say it. Actually, you know what? Shatner, keep my name out your mouth. I don't need to talk about it.
And you've said that. You've been saying that.
I've been saying it. I was like, if Shatner ever mentions me, it's on site. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's ugly. It's ugly, I think.
Yeah,
you said.
Shatner can catch the hands. That's it.
Yeah, my first instinct was just to go like Waka Flocka.
Waka Flocka Flame. Like,
oh, that's really good.
Daca.
Apodaca Duvalier.
I thought you were going to say that most of the word podcast is in my last name, which is true.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
You're
clearly an industry plant.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Matt, a podcaster?
Yeah. The idea wasn't really thought of until they got to me and they're like, wait a second. Let's start this. Let's make everybody who would ever actually make money from it do that first. Yeah. And then we'll get him in there.
But you know, everybody's been saying that behind your back. You know, that you're the Billie Eilish of podcasting.
That's true. Where this fool come from. That's good company for me. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, no,
that's,
it is. I mean, yeah. Extremely
that's
talented. But yeah.
If I was as good as her at podcasts, the industry would be different, baby.
That's right. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, I don't know if you guys are going to agree, but I do think that when people talk about movies and they talk about trilogies and they talk about like sacred trilogies, this one gets left off. Nobody's really talking about this one in that same conversation. And I think it deserves to be up there with some of the greats. And it's the more recent Planet of the Apes trilogy, starting with Rise, Dawn, and War of the Planet of the Apes. I think all three of those movies fucking whip ass. They're so good.
I really enjoyed the first two. The third one got good reviews.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it. I love movies, and for some reason, like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, there was just something about the culture at the time that was just like, yeah, I don't know, man. We're kind of over the shit. You want to see Monkey Ride a Horse? Come on. What are you, an idiot?
Not even just Monkey Ride a Horse. Monkey Ride a Horse jumping through fire, shooting machine guns. Yeah. It was rules. If that movie came out now, that's the only thing people would be talking about this year. They'd be like, I saw this fucking crazy thing happen in a movie.
This just rebranded as like Apes on Cocaine. And then you'll be like, yo! Because like, is War of the Planet of the Apes when they have the showdown on the suspension bridge?
Yeah.
Or is that the second one?
I think so. Well, there's a lot of like...
Where the gorillas pull up and they're like, yo, watch me throw some, like, bring a helicopter down.
Okay, yeah, that is the second one, yes, because they have retreated into the woods. They're further away from San Francisco in war. They're like, somewhere else completely, I think.
Right.
Because the first one is primarily in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, Rise has the suspension bridge.
Yeah, and then they get in there. The second one, they sort of now are more talking and know that they're still humans. And then war is like...
I didn't miss that one. Yeah, with Woody Harrelson like leading all the fucking humans and shit.
Yeah, it's fucking great. It's so good. And Gary Oldman's in the second one. It's got some star power behind these behind these ones. They're good.
I went and saw the second one. I was like, no notes. These seem to be getting like way... The first one I really enjoyed. The second one I was like, this is like way better. I can only imagine what the third one's going to be like.
Yeah.
And then I didn't see it.
Same.
It's so good. Very rare blockbuster that like gets good reviews that I just like didn't see. So I don't know what it was. But I am part of the problem. I will admit.
I think give it a spin. Check it out. I think it's so good. And I think it's like, I don't know. Steve Zahn plays a monkey in war.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm a big Zahn head. I love Steve Zahn.
Yeah.
And he's perfect. So good in it.
I loved him in this season of Gemstones.
When I found out that he was in it, I was like, I'm ready for Steve Zahn to take over. I'm ready. I thought it was going to happen after White Lotus, and I thought he was going to be in a bunch of stuff. I have a big pitch for him, and maybe I shouldn't say. I think he should be in a season of Fargo, and I think that he'll bring home some hardware. I think he'll rip.
He's
limited totally drama.
Poised.
We're ready for the Renaissance.
But he does need to have a little interlude. It's interesting that I didn't know he was in the third Planet of the Apes. Does he play human or?
He plays a monkey. He plays like an ape that they did like experiments on. Mm. And so, but he's like he's kind of like fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, is he the one in the trailer that looks like all hairless and shit?
Yeah,
like
he wears a jacket because he doesn't have any hair because he's cold. But he's really funny in the movie.
Oh, wait, is that the one where they said it was dressed like Duray McKesson?
Oh, I know.
Because do you remember this, Jack? I remember we were talking about this. One of them, like, he was wearing like a blue, like padded vest type shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, like, so he does wear a vest in the movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember when we were covering this. Damn, this is how fucking back the show was going. Where people were like, "That monkey is dressed like Duray McKesson," and everyone was like,
"What are you saying,
what?
Assholes?"
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He has a moment in White Lotus where he like does like Ape Man. An ape man thing. That was weird. Like he gets drunk and then starts being like, ooh, ooh, and like pounding his chest.
He brought it. He used that.
He's using different parts.
Yeah. That's why he's just so good.
Yeah. Zonaissance.
And I know that they're going to be making some
Renaissance
new ones too.
Renaissance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to continue from war into whatever else. And like the thing that is good about these movies is that it shouldn't work because. You know what it's building to. You like the Planet of the Apes is such a famous movie, and like everybody knows the story of the movie. It's not on paper interesting how they get to that point where somebody, you know, where Charlton Heston comes back and is like, "Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape." That's not interesting. But every single one of them tells us such a cool story.
Yeah, like an escalation in it. Yeah,
it rocks.
Sure.
They're so good.
That's amazing. Yeah, all right,
I love
this. Is a great underrated. I'm not going to comment on your overrated, but this is a great underrated.
It's okay. I know that you're mad, and there's nothing I can do about it. But
I think that's probably right. I think the only reason that I don't have that same take on Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is that I partake in all the different varieties, and so I can when I'm feeling a little over peanut buttered, I can always go to the King Cup.
Yeah, and I'll always give it a try. because they're around. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I want a little piece of candy. Oh, I got Reese's here. I don't love that. Let me see if it's changed. And every single time I take a bite, I'm like, I don't like it that much.
I will say, you should just stop trying. Because nobody
it doesn't sound like I like them
in the world. Doesn't seem like you like them.
Yeah.
And nobody else in the world sees that and is like, oh, man, Reese's. Everybody else is like, hell yeah, they got a
Reese's
cup.
I'm ruining it for somebody that wants one. I'm taking one bite and tossing it in the dang trash.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about some news. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And we're back. And this is actually going to be a full Reese's show. I guess there's climate change news, but Miles was checking out the new Reese's lineup and seeing.
Reese's Creamy? Have you had Reese's Creamy?
No.
Versus Reese's Crunchy?
Fuck out of here.
What? Wow.
Crunchy, I could fuck with. I could give that a whirl.
They did one where they put the Reese's cereal puffs in it.
Oh, okay. Creamy isn't like creamy peanut butter.
No, that's a different one. Yeah, the one is creamy peanut butter versus crunchy peanut butter. I thought it was
like a cream. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. God. For your coffee.
Can I comment on the cereal real quick?
Yeah.
Please. I always felt like as a person of color, I always thought that cereal was exclusively marketed to people of color and because there's never white children in the commercials.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, what is going on here? This is just a cereal for us?
The puffs are like really on point in terms of skin tone. Like these are real skin tones.
Yeah, you know absolutely. Yeah.
So I quite literally see myself in the cereal. So in that sense, it was drawing me like a moth to the flame.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, this cereal is not for white children.
I know. I think those commercials really were. They're like, you ain't cool enough to eat this shit, white kids.
Go back to your tricks.
Yeah, exactly. Because this shit definitely ain't for kids.
Yeah.
It ain't for mark-ass kids like you. Yeah, because one was like, wasn't it like a wrap in one?
Yeah, Reese's Puff, Reese's Puff. Peanut butter chocolate flavor.
Oh, man. I didn't. Uh-oh. I missed these. I think I was like too old to have been around when this was being. I think they were like made when I was like Yeah, this I was like listening to radio ads, okay, like the Geritol radio hour. I think these hit when I was like in middle school, so I wasn't like watching Saturday morning cartoons anymore.
Yeah, see,
oh, this there's the one issue. White homie. There's okay. The one white homie with the two.
They
black
gave
guys.
Him. Yeah, they invited him,
but like very, but he plays a very like tertiary role in it because like yeah. The main action between the two black guys were like, yeah, this shit is good.
Look, I'm gonna go ahead and say it. He's lucky to be there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And then like afterwards, like don't think you can start using the N word, Brad.
Yeah, yeah, just because like, you okay, like the
okay,
cereal.
Okay. Just you were just part of the commercial. Yeah. Yeah. And then this one too. Yeah, it's true. I mean, look, Reese's, maybe they've been a civil rights leader this whole time.
And you know what? That's why I'll always vow to take at least one bite of any Reese's cup I see, even if I don't like it.
There you go.
And that's why like neoliberalism works. Yeah, you know? It's because there's money being spent to change hearts and minds via Reese's commercials.
Right, exactly. Same way I'll eat Little Caesars because the owner paid for Rosa Parks' rent.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean.
That's right.
Like, all right, I see. I salute you. Salute the champions. But anyway, good news. Shall we move on to?
Yeah, let's talk about some good news.
So, despite the ongoing tragedy in Maui or on Maui, it seems like we have like an actual bit of good news on the climate front. So, this judge in Montana ruled in favor of a group of young plaintiffs, like between ages like 5 and up to like around 22 or 21, that sued the state basically to change the state's laws. Underscoring their right to live in a, you know, fucking healthy world. They basically argued that their constitutional rights were being trampled on, like being trampled on because the state like actually legally mandates a policy that, you know, like prioritizes fossil fuel use and also like the development of fossil fuel use. So like it's just very like, yeah, it's on our books. We love fucking gasoline yeah. and dino juice.
Right.
And there's also a part of those like mandates that actually make the state literally ignore the impact of fossil fuel use and greenhouse gas emissions. They're like, don't even look at that shit. It's our policy in the state of Montana. So basically they went full earth fuck. And the plaintiffs argued that the Montana Constitution grants them the right to a clean and healthful environment. Also like, you know, dignity, health and safety, happiness, equal protection under the law. And they're saying this shit, if you're mandating this kind of nonsense, that's violating our constitutional right.
Yeah.
And the judge heard enough. Ruled in their favor and has now enjoined the state from implementing these laws in the future. So it's done. So a very small thing, but many people are pointing to the fact that this is really significant.
Yeah.
And like a lot of policy people see this as a new tool to fight back because when all the facts and science and like are presented along with the impacts on the future generations, there seems to be a consensus that this amounts to a true constitutional violation that has to be considered.
Yeah. Like it should be against the law for them to poison the future.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just because like I think it's abstract where it's like, well, you can't dump radioactive waste by a school. Like it's the same thing where it's like, well, we're not seeing it now. So shit's just going in the air that who knows what impact that has. And now that they're articulating it, it's really
just pointing out that the current laws actually like mandate that you do destroy the earth.
Yeah.
I think it's an easy one. It was probably the easiest one to go for because you're like, they're literally saying ignore the fucking science here.
Yeah.
Like at our detriment. Like, so what gives?
Something I like about this story is that it includes that the ages of the plaintiffs were 5 to 22. Like it's like making it possible that it was the 5-year-old that was like, we got to do something about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Hey, get off your fucking PlayStation. Man. I got something to say. Yeah. I'm 5 years old and I'm looking at my Outlook and I'm feeling fucked over.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Yeah. And then they're like, okay, let him cook. He's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Does he need a nap? No, he's being really serious. Okay.
No, he just had one. He just had one. That's why he's so energetic right now.
Yeah. They're arguing in front of the judge.
Yeah. Right.
Your Honor. Like, yeah.
My not Honor. Pronouncing his R's. Yeah, right. Exactly. They turned to W's. Climate change.
Climate change.
But there does seem to be like something inherent. Like, I don't know. This is definitely anecdotal, but it feels like young children are just like, yeah, no, I'm like a vegetarian because why wouldn't I be? Are you fucking crazy? It's like, you're 6. What are you talking about? But they're just, it seems like through just living in a world that is like completely deranged and completely fucking the future. That,
yeah.
Like the message is getting to them despite the best efforts of kind of the mainstream media.
Yeah, I don't know how a little kid could look around now and be like, this seems fine. Like, it's like everything is just good. So markedly bad that like kids today have to be like, what, 10 years left? I'll be 16. Let's see if I can try to fix this thing.
Like, it's weird too, like how my like I used to be like, man, these young kids don't know. We was out here on bicycles and shit, pre-computer, man. Shit was, you could get, you know, it was fucking beautiful.
Yeah, you used to go around to playgrounds and say that shit.
Just,
Y'all don't fucking know. We push a kid over now. It's my turn on the swing. but then like now I'm truly like, damn, these kids aren't gonna know some of the things. Like I look at my own little baby and I'm like, this, I don't even know what the fuck his world is gonna look like compared to the shit that I had. And I'm like, damn, like that's kind of an L. And now you realize, you know, this is truly like, this is the real fight that has to, that is taking place, because this isn't the only place where lawsuits like this are happening.
Yeah.
There's one in Hawaii, like, and there are other states, because again, this seems like a pretty good tool to use to try and counteract dino juice addiction.
Yeah. it feels, and it, again, like as we talked about in our episode about Ministry for the Future, like we are in a unique position being inside the United States. Like we're in the belly of the beast, and like other countries are, you know, already kind of working with the new reality and just like enacting policies. But the U.S. is still in this bizarre cognitive dissonance spiral.
Yeah.
And then we're like, why is everyone so unhappy? And it's like, well, because like there's a very clear reality that everyone's having to just like lock out and ignore to like get through their day to day lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not good for you. It can't be good for you.
No, no. Yeah, the ocean's boiling in Florida. Like people are just like, I just won't think about that. Like,
<"Well>, yeah. I'll just think about how I got third degree burns from walking on the sidewalk because it's so hot outside.
Kidding me, dude? We're going hot tubbing in the ocean. It's fucking tight.
It's so cool.
Just can't stand for more than 10 minutes or else
your heart will stop.
Yeah, you'll actually cook from the inside. Yeah, so you're like, you only want to get in there for just a little bit.
Yeah, you're not on blood thinners, are you?
We need your blood thick in there.
Yeah.
You know that metaphor about like the frog and the boiling water? Like that's actually not a metaphor anymore.
Look at all these frogs. The reality. That are cooked.
You need to get the fuck out of there now. Well, speaking of Florida, let's check in down there real quick. Mm-hmm. Ron DeSantis. This is like I'm enjoying Ron DeSantis's campaign. I did not think I would heading in, but man, he is bad at this.
So
there's not a true like note. He has yet to hit like a note that wasn't just like
completely off like, and sour.
Just sour and like false and completely like incapable of connecting with humans in any way.
And then like every headline that comes out every week is some version of like people like Ron DeSantis till they fucking meet him.
You know, like what must this be doing to his
so many permutations self-esteem. Of that. Another one's like, is Ron DeSantis's biggest problem Ron DeSantis?
What's so funny, cause like I feel like a lot of these guys come out of the woodwork, like even like you know, they start talking, they start campaigning, and then they just like reveal themselves to be the biggest freaks on earth. Like a couple years ago when I didn't know, I mean, I was blessed to not know who Ted Cruz was, and then he shows up and then he's just like the biggest dweeb on planet earth. It's like, this guy fucking sucks. Like, he's like not even like, not that like his policies would be better if he was cool, but like he can't even pretend to be like a normal man.
Well, yeah, he's just like, he has like every terrible flaw. Like he's a coward, like on top of being like a racist and like violently ignorant, is like he doesn't stand for any, not even his own wife. You're like, who are you?
He ate a booger.
Yeah. So, you know, Ron DeSantis now, he's like trying to fucking right the ship. Like he's trying to be like, the optics are so bad around everything I do. Like I need fucking help. And he recently proclaimed that he's moved on from his feud with Disney, which is one of the central conflicts that has made him look like the most petulant asshole out there.
Yeah.
And so, again, just to break it down again, if you recall, Disney decided to speak up way too late in the game when DeSantis decided to roll out his Don't Say Gay bill. And people were like, Disney's like, this is bad. And people were like, thank you. It was weeks late, but thank you for saying something. This upset Rob, and he decided to nullify Disney's like autonomous zone in Orlando and install his own puppet board. And there's all this like legal fucking maneuvering. This led Disney to file a lawsuit against DeSantis and the state for what they described as, quote, a targeted campaign of government retaliation. True. And this led to just a ton of people roasting him. Like, even Donald Trump's like, oh, you got in a fight with Mickey Mouse and you got humiliated. And like, no, everyone was just fucking roasting his ass. And now his latest quotes about it, he's like trying to act like this whole thing wasn't an L the whole time. This is the last thing he just said on CNBC. We've basically moved on. They're suing the state of Florida and they're going to lose that lawsuit. So what I would say is drop the lawsuit. So yes. All we want to do is treat everybody the same and let's move forward. I'm totally fine with that, but I'm not fine with giving extraordinary privileges, you know, to one special company at the exclusion of everybody else. This guy really just pulled the middle school, like,
I'm winning this fight, so you might as well just walk away.
He's
Tim Robinson in the opening sketch of season 3. When I start to lose, I look at my phone.
Like, truly, it really doesn't feel like we're, like, in middle school, like, kids, like, talking shit, then someone claps back and makes them look like an absolute fool, and then they go, I'm over it, actually, like, I wasn't even happy, like, this wasn't even a fight anyway.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Like, come on, Rob. Fuck it's, right off.
It's impressive, like, I've just, that we've gotten to a place where this was, like, the great hope for defeating Donald Trump, and he's so bad. He can't make a move that doesn't make him look like absolute shit.
Yeah. He's just a device, as Chris Crofton would say. You know what I mean? Like, he just kind of goes where, like, the shitty wind blows and he has no real thought. And, like, so he's just trying to, like, he's just grasping at a ton of shit. And
yeah. He's like Sideshow Bob stepping on rakes, but, like, as a guy.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Let's take another quick break and we'll come back and talk about some pop culture. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And we're back. And let's talk video games, eh? We so rarely do it on this podcast.
Do you guys not game?
Miles games.
I game. Oh yeah, yeah. I'm right now. I'm like losing a lot of time playing Civilization 6 on Switch now.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I used to love playing on the computer, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna just download this real quick. It was a plain game, and then now I game, baby.
You game. Okay, I'm you out game.
Here. Yeah, yeah. Console or otherwise, just not on PC.
I have the Switch. I play Wordle.
You play Wordle on Switch?
Yeah. I'm a pretty serious gamer.
We don't need
to get into that.
That's really cool that you have like probably the only Switch that has Wordle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see how he holds it too. You see how he holds it vertically.
Oh, interesting.
Like a cell phone.
No, that's cool. I'm glad you have a game that you like, and that's cool that you have Wordle on Switch. That's like such a unique. That's really cool for you.
I like to play the New York Times crossword puzzle on Switch.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we're gonna have to talk offline. I don't think you know what a damn Switch is.
I think this guy is lying.
The important thing to know is I'm Switch a gamer.
Yeah,
people like me. So there's this sim game. A city planning sim style video game. So here's the thing about me. I will listen to a video game podcast describe video games to me that I've never played and that I probably never will play. Mm-hmm. And I find it very interesting to hear about video games. Mm-hmm. I find the promise very interesting.
You know, that's a lot of, we get that feedback a lot. Like people are like, I don't even play video games. I just like the show and hear you guys talk about them. And I'm just like, that's I love it. That's great. I don't understand, but I love it. Because I don't seek out things that I don't do myself to, like, I don't listen to podcasts about like pottery. Welding or whatever. Or like, because I don't have an interest in it. But hats off to all the welders out there.
I think
there.
It's like, it's also like the Twitch thing too, where I was always amazed. I'm like, motherfuckers are just watching people. Like, I'm like, no, give me the controller.
Yeah. But then you sit down and you watch it and you're like, I'm just like more captivated by this than any TV show I watched this year. Yeah.
You're like, it's the way he makes the characters talk shit to each other in Red Dead, though.
Yeah. He's always picking, the saltiest responses. It's fun. Yeah.
So this game, like people are talking about how City Skylines 2 is coming out. I guess the first one came out in 2015. It's sold like 12 million copies since coming out. And it's like a city planning sim game. The video that I watched two videos, and I will tell you which of them I recommend. In one, a guy builds a town on top of a volcano and just absolutely... Oh, hell yeah. Repeatedly, continuously pelts his city with meteor strikes. Mm-hmm. And his solution for storing his town's sewage is to put it all in the volcano. And then it doesn't end well.
Oh my God. Wait,
so for like the sanitation, whatever department, like he just routes all of it to go into like the fucking...
Into the volcano.
I'll burn it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then by the end, there's a huge catastrophe. And then the other one was like an actual city planner being like, all right, so I'm going to like do this and see how it compares to the real thing. And that one is boring.
Yeah. Burn the shit with magma. I get it.
I mean, if you could weaponize magma.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Or use it as a way to deal with the... You know, refuse of your citizens.
Yeah. We're not using magma enough, I think. And that's something I think we should do. That probably has no ramifications on the climate. I think we should probably switch to magma.
Yeah. Is it Greenland or Iceland? One of those that's like mostly volcanic powered? Like the whole, I think it's Iceland. Everything is like just pipes that are working with underground magma.
Oh, geothermal,
like
man.
Shit, yeah. Geothermal energy. Anyways, it's a possibility that we should all be looking into. But there's cool stuff. Like you can build like hydroelectric dams and windmills and, you know, figure out how you want to power things. But it seems like for the second one, they are taking a turn more towards the actual city planning version. And
do volcanoes and shit though?
I'm hoping you can still do volcanoes.
Yeah, probably. Okay.
But I think they're adding more of an economic element to it. And now your city can go broke. There will be like waves of layoffs. There will be homelessness epidemics in cities.
Yeah, the use of prison labor too, like as an option.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So it'll be interesting. Like they're definitely opening themselves up to, because anytime you're like having a city simulation video game, like there are political choices tied up in that, right?
Right. Right.
Like, if you decide to go like full libertarian and like that's the way to like run a successful city, then you're probably leaving something out, and like that reflects a political choice that you're making. But I don't know. This seems like it's more tilted in a here's what actually has happened.
Yeah, I think it's like a really interesting teaching tool too, because video games have taught me a lot of shit. Like, whether it's incorrect history or what fucking flags look like, because I was playing so much Carmen Sandiego as a kid.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It has the capacity to, like, give you sort of new ways of thinking. Like, you even see it with sports, like, how Madden has affected how, like, even NFL, like, people play, like, physical football and shit like that. But,
how,
like,
how insufferable people are to talk to about football who play Madden. It's definitely affected that.
But, like, with like a game like this though, like where you're trying to do like you're engaging in like a sim game, but it's also like you're now having to actually consider these like sort of economic, socioeconomic factors as to how that works.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be people who are like, fuck it. Like, I just want to burn everybody with volcanic shit. But then I'm sure like other people like to even see what those relationships are like in whatever your disposition is as a person, you're going to want to be like, oh no, like how do I optimize like the everybody doing well in this city? Oh, I need to tax people. Oh, there's revenues here from all these like rich people, because those are all these like levers that you can pull in the game. So, and I'm really interested in it, just because part of me wants to be like, yeah, I know how to do this, and then cut to my shit burning down with liquid magma shit. But hey, we'll see. Yeah,
there's this video game that I love so much called Disco Elysium. And
I just got that on Switch.
You're going to love it. It's so great. It's like such a unique RPG point and click like adventure type game. And what it is you're a detective who has amnesia, and you're trying to solve a mystery of like, one, who you are, why you're there, and this murder that has taken place. And the reason I bring it up is because you can sort of align politically with different political parties, and that affects how you play the game. So like, you could side with fascists, you could side with like these like neoliberal type people, or you can be an anarchist and do sort of like your own thing. And that's like wild. That's a wild choice too. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because these developers who are from Europe, I can't remember exactly where, who made this game, like
Europe's close enough.
Yeah, it's like sort of just like they're specific enough from Europe. Yeah. They sort of had a more nuanced take on it than like an American development team might have, because they were like thinking about things a little more holistically. So like, but you can play the game a bunch of different ways, and in different playthroughs, be like a completely different guy, basically, even though you're still the one character. But it's interesting because they had to sort of account for any sort of other political choice you might make. So like, if you follow the fascist ending, you stick with that, and there's like other like things you can do within that as well that, you know, I didn't pick that
becomes
one
like a totally different game, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, that's really interesting. Cool. So like something like this, the city planning one, I would hope that it wouldn't have like, this is my sincere hope. I would hope that it's made by good people and that there's not a fascism part of it at all.
But, or it's like, everything looks way cooler when you go full fash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The cars are cooler.
You get a bunch
of
stat bonuses for like being like
kind
racist.
Of police state.
But like, I would imagine that if it is like sort of like a singular point of view, that things are probably being left out. Like, there's not everything is being accounted for, and that's that is interesting. I wonder how City Builders 2 will handle it.
Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of like input. I mean, like, because they are really trying to replicate like how
real
all of
life,
these relationships work. Like,
sim
even
games
zoning.
Are so popular and so like beloved now. There's like a power washing simulator game, and people just like that because watching power washing things are like so satisfying, and like then you doing it is like its own thing too. It's like it's such a fun thing.
Because like I was just playing Jedi Survivor, and like that's super fun, and like hacking them up with lightsabers, but then like I've just been playing so much Civilization, and I realize like it's like the difference between like playing like sort of these like tentpole games that are super like action packed are just kind of like these really huge bursts of energy. Whereas like when I play Sims, I feel like I'm sculpting something because it takes time. Like it's not the game, you know, it's as in depth as you want to go. So I think because of that, the way you engage with it is much deeper and much more patient. And I think I don't know, like I'm finding myself really liking that part of gaming again, of like the process of it rather than like the instant dopamine hit of like, oh shit, can I use dual lightsabers and fucking cut this droid in three?
I loved that game as well, and that was specifically why, because I loved the Kylo Ren stance.
Yeah,
that heavy stance. I just loved ripping through people like that.
I was always using the blaster. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Well, you keep that thing on you. Yeah. With that,
you know. Oh, always. You never caught lacking. Never caught lacking.
That game is like, once my 7-year old finds out that that game exists, like I will lose him as a human being.
Oh,
he will be gone from me.
You got to go incremental, man. Like
he just runs around our house pretending to do the shit that you guys just described, just like all day. He's just like, I'm like,
oh,
just,
right.
Yeah.
Is he like force pushing shit? He's like, with watch this force. Yeah. Boom. Fucked you up. Bow. Yeah. Does he have a little lightsaber?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He's got lightsabers. Like, he's also got like just anything becomes a lightsaber, you know, like four markers. So going end to
end. Oh, I missed that.
That was such a thing.
Yeah.
That was like the ultimate thing you could do with markers.
Stack them. Yeah. And that's the best. A baton of shit. And then you always got mad when you hit something and just fucking shattered because it's so flimsy.
Yeah. This is probably an impossible question and not one I should be asking with like a minute left in our show, but like, what would you say, like, how does the political content of the video game industry compare to, like, you know, movies are made in Hollywood and they, like, think of themselves as being pretty liberal, but then, like, they're also, you know, doing the work of the fucking military and shit. Like, is it, like, kind of the same in the video game industry?
I feel like a lot of video games don't really do, like, there are some games that are like overtly like political. Like there's this game called Papers, Please, where you're like at like a border and like you are checking people's like and papers, whether or not they're allowed to come in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's interesting. Disco Elysium, I would say, is like a pretty political video game. But like from as far as like AAA titles, I don't think they're getting more political than like Call of Duty. Like that's like and you know, they're like, sort of like the army is good, like that's like the thing is like and that's it.
But Rockstar, I mean, some of Rockstar's games, like you can tell are made with a little more thought. Like there's definitely,
because those are like satire, like it's particularly Grand Theft Auto or like satire video games, but that in mass people have ignored that part of it, and people like the worst people are like Grand Theft Auto is like the best fucking thing ever, dude. It's fun and it's like interesting, and like they are making fun of like, you know, all sides of the political spectrum, I guess, but it is like sometimes done with the less delicate hand in certain directions than they should in other directions. But I think they tried to do some of that in that Cyberpunk 2077 also, but like it actually is just kind of it's stupid. Like it doesn't really say anything. Like it is kind of just like, oh, like, yeah, you can align with the cops, or like you can like be like, but you end up doing a bunch of errands for cops, actually, and that feels like the shittiest thing ever. Like, that's all video games, though. You are Spider-Man in the Spider-Man game. You're helping cops all the time. You're like, this sucks. I hate helping cops. I would never be caught dead helping a cop.
That's also movies, right?
Like, that's true, too. Yeah.
The default protagonist is cops, like, since I was a kid.
The only good guys are cops, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking good guy, and, like, my favorite movie is Jaws. Like randomly, the protagonist of that's a fucking cop for some reason. Like, why?
Hey, man.
Why is the protagonist of Jaws a cop?
The only good guy in Jaws is a shark.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Amen, brother.
Get out of his ocean. Stop messing with him.
Yeah.
You're fucking up my house. That's why I'm so close to y'all. Shit.
Yeah.
Leave Bruce alone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Matt, truly a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh,
where
boy.
Can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Look, it's tough now with social media. I'm not on X. I used to be on Twitter. I used to really love being on there. I had some nice followers there. I left. I'm not there anymore. You can follow me on Instagram, which I acknowledge is also a bad place to be. Well, like,
well, we got to wait and see who wins the fight.
Well, you know? Yeah,
because then that's
it is my sincere hope that Zuckerberg hits him one time and his head falls off. I just want the funniest thing to happen,
like
to
a Sock'em, like Rock'em Sock'em Robot.
Yeah, like, just like goes up. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm on there. I'm on Threads, but like, am I on Threads? What's on Threads?
Yeah, you know who's on first. Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, I'm on. God, my brain just completely stopped.
There's a lot of them.
I'm on the podcast Get Played with Nick Weiger and Heather Ann Campbell. Check that out wherever you get pods. We have an anime Patreon show called Get Animated, where we watch like an entire series of anime, two episodes at a time for several weeks, and then we talk about it. We did Neon Genesis Evangelion. We did the show called Licorice Recoil. We watched we watched Akira on there. I had never seen Akira before.
Oh shit.
Oh man, that's a great.
Yeah. I watched that fairly recently too.
I watched it for the first time like last year and was like, this is like one of the best movies I've ever seen. I was like, it's so
incredible.
Good.
Yeah.
Like, why was this kept from me? I had no idea.
Why was this not like one of the first movies I saw?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess probably because it's maybe not appropriate.
It's,
for, like,
it's certainly rated R.
Fucking rules.
I mean, that's why we're still waiting for that live action.
I would be interested. I don't know if they need to do it, but I know that I feel like I heard that Taika Waititi was supposed to be doing it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I trust Taika with that. I think he could do it.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things where, like, on its own, it's completely amazing. But there's just something about that aesthetic where, like, I would welcome to see that, like, sort of IRL cinematic representation.
Like, that didn't come true. Like, is like an interesting sort of like setting, right? Like, in terms of like technology and fashion. Like, I think that movie's set in like 2015 or something. Like, and that's now long past. And like, it's nothing like that
2019.
Now.
2019.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2019. Yeah. And it's like, it's just so interesting.
Yeah.
But the slide works on in live action. You've seen it in things.
Yeah.
I thought, having not seen it before, I thought the slide, like on the motorcycle, was like the main thing. I was like, well, this is certainly like the climax of the movie, him sliding on this motorcycle. And then when it happens 10 minutes into the movie, I was like, well, what the hell is the rest of this?
Yeah.
And then it's becomes the crazy, it becomes insane. And you're like, oh, this rocks. But those are the two things that I would like to plug. And I produced this other show that's on the Earwolf Presents feed called Expo Exposé with my pal Jacob Wysocki. And we went to a bunch of different expos in Southern California and interviewed people there, and it's a very like sweet and like sincere show. It's a comedy show, but like it's not that like that type of thing. Usually you see people going up to people and like making fun of the people there or whatever. Right. It's like a very genuine, like, we're trying to just figure out what is going on here and why people like it and learning about the different subcultures they're in. And I think it came out really great, and I hope people check it out.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying? I guess you just told us about a couple. But.
Those things, but I guess I'm on those things. So that's like that don't count. My friend Chris Farron put out an album recently called Doomsinger, and it's very good. It's a great album. Check out the song Cosmic Leash. And if that doesn't hook you, what the heck's wrong with you?
Yeah. You have ears?
You got ears? You got a functioning ear?
You can get hooked on this.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? Is there work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, all the @-based websites, @milesofgray. That's MILESGRAY. It's wild when sometimes people reach out, like type my handle, but then misspell my first name or my last name. But hey, it is what it's. And also find us on the basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Also the new true crime show I'm doing, The Good Thief, talking about the Greek Robin Hood, and also 420 Day Fiance. Yeah. Check it all out. A tweet I like is this is from Jesse McLaren @McJesse tweeted, country musicians are like, y'all, there's two things I can't stand: socialism and the exploitation of my labor by the bourgeoisie.
I retweeted that yesterday. That is so good.
So fucking good.
Yeah, man.
Oh, shit.
Rich men north of Richmond. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You can find me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien, on Threads @Jack_O_Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Kingsley tweeted, I'm a huge fan of that post-laundry feeling where you've got all your A-list clothes back in the game.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man, truly. Particularly the underwear. Like, I just have, like, some pairs of underwear that are, like, much better than the rest. There's, like, a real big differentiation between A-list and C-list there. So, and then Harrison Weinreb tweeted, it's cool when a bathroom stall has a coat hook. Like, yeah, fuck it. I'll hang out. you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what's a song that you think people might enjoy?
Oh, this is going to be a remix of the banger from the Aughts. Or was it the Aughts? Remember Tweet? Oh my. Oh my.
Ooh, there goes my shirt.
Remember that? Anyway, some of us really remember that track. Anyway, this is like a house techno-ish remix of that. And it's really dope. It's called Couldn't Catch My Breath. So check this one out from DJ Houseplants.
DJ Houseplants, great name.
Yeah.
All right. We'll link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. Yep. And we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.